some scientists have found in their experiments that when this guy up some pictures of some of those water pictures in the book from this guy Emoto, Professor Emoto,
mm-hmm.
which are very, very relevant. And he was, I think it was him that was finding that if you have a low vibrational state, it's affected by a low vibrational state. If you have a high vibrational state, the low vibrational state, which makes sense, has no effect on it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two radio stations that are just on different frequencies. And as we raise our vibrational state, as we begin to awaken to the remember who we are, then all this low vibrational stuff is not going to affect us. If you're in a low vibrational state, then low vibrational chemicals in food and mobile phones and all this other shite that they're throwing at us to keep us down there is going to affect you. But if you're in a high vibrational state, then it's just going to pass through you. It's not going to affect you at all.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about vibration at the end. I mean, things like aspartame and fluoride and water and MSG and all this stuff, they're low vibrational phenomena. And if you're in a low vibrational state, then you're on their wavelength. That'll affect you. If you're in a high vibrational state, that'll affect you at all. Because the physical expression is just an illusory holographic representation of waveforms. Fast frequency waveforms, high frequency waveforms, low frequency waveforms aren't going to touch us at all. And if they don't touch us on the level of waveform, they're not going to touch us on the level of hologram, because the hologram is an expression of the waveform, that's all.
Wow. That makes sense. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I just feel, you know, and this is a whole other interview, I just feel I feel it so strong, it's particularly, you know, through these last 2 weeks in South Africa, traveling around the Kuala Lumpur and stuff, that we are on the brink of such a change, it's unbelievable, and we're at a point where it seems like the desire for control is reaching its peak and its conclusion and its Orwellian expression and outcome, but actually it's the point where the great change is going to take place and this whole damn thing is going to fall apart. I've never ever, since I started this journey, been more certain that within our lifetimes, you and me, this is, and I was 53 last week, this is going to turn around. We are going to see a transformation that's going to be absolutely staggering, because if I change my attitude now to something, my life changes completely. Everything changes in regard to what that attitude caused before, compared with what my changed attitude is now going to cause and now going to create. And it's the same. Once we flip from one perception of reality and who we are to another, everything changes in a instant. You know, it's just a fantastic time to be in this reality, because it's just going to be so much fun to see it turn around in just an unbelievably short period. This is going to turn around, you know.
I believe that. That's, I'm seeing things speeding up exponentially.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right.
I'm Nicole Whitney, newsforthesoul.com, and let's go now to our most significant interview with David Icke to date in the years that we've been speaking with him. You can find him online at davidicke.com. We spoke to David at his UK home.
What struck me massively was that the DNA is a biological computer which is decoding waveforms sent from a central, quote, computer. And when I say computer, I'm using it symbolically, because we're not talking about a PC here. We're talking about the work of consciousness, which would make the biggest, greatest computer on Earth look like a baked bean in terms of intelligence. So we are receiving in waveform, like a television receives waveforms and turns them into pictures, a collective reality. And we, through the DNA, and particularly the central processing unit, as I call it, the brain. And it's interesting, in a computer you have a central processing unit through which all the information traffic goes, and it's actually known, that the central processing unit, as the brain of the computer. So our brain's DNA are decoding these waveforms into holographic images. We're like television sets, if you like, or computers, except that we are turning them into holographic forms, apparently three-dimensional, rather than flat-screen form. And the reality of the internet, when we're experiencing it, only exists in the computer. Well, the experience of the holographic internet, the matrix that we are caught in, is the same. It's only going on in our heads. Come back from 10, 11 days with Kwela Mutwa in South Africa.
Oh, you have.
Which was fascinating. And I have the material for another book from not just that, but other things that I've got together. So basically, I'm at the point now where I need cloning. I need about four or five of me. So one can write the book, and one can do this, and one can do that. But it's good because, you know, I remember the days when, you know, I used to talk in drafty village halls to a man and a dog. I am going to do a lot of traveling. I'm going to come to America, I think, three times in the summer.
Now, the book that we're talking about today, what is it called?
It's called Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion. And the subtitle is Exposing the Dream World We Believe to Be Real. But should I read you the blurb on the back to give you an idea?
Yes, please.
Okay, it says here, why the world is a virtual reality game that only exists because we believe it does. Quite simply, the cutting edge just moved. Never before has the book explained with such clarity why physical reality is merely an illusion that only exists in our brain, and even our brain's an illusion. Ike explains how we live in a holographic internet, in that our brains are connected to a central computer. All these words are in quotes because they're only as near as we can get in our language. A central computer that feeds us the same collective reality that we decode into waveforms and electrical signals into a holographic 3D world that we all think we see. Ike points out the various disciplines of mainstream science have already discovered much of this information, but the parts are never put together. They've focused on the twigs and not seen the forest because the forces manipulating global society have no wish for us to know the truth that will set us free. Basically, it was a series of little revelations I had, about the nature of DNA and what it is, and why, depending on the scientist you talk to, between 90 and 97% of DNA is known by science as junk DNA because they don't know what it does. And so my whole focus is going to another level, which is what is the nature of the reality that we're experiencing, and what controls it, and what is it? And so that's what the book's about. And there's about 88 illustrations, about nearly 30 of them are color originals, and I think it's the most powerful book in a book that I've written in one book. It certainly seems to be the impact it's having on people who are reading it, because it's like a lot of the mysteries are not so mysterious when you look at them from this direction. And also, thanks to the internet and computers and things like that that we have today, it means that you have concepts you can symbolize with that we didn't have before, so it makes it easier.
So is that a good place to begin, what the nature of DNA is?
Well, what happened was that when this started for me back in the late 80s, early 90s, I started on a journey which began in very much the... Well, first of all, I had a massive spiritual experience which took me to another perspective of life. But then I went into this period of years when my focus was getting to grips with how the world is controlled and who's controlling it. The whole conspiracy of banking, of business, of mind manipulation and all the rest of it. And it's come to the point now, of course, in the last few years, particularly since 9/11, when the stuff that was written all those years ago about what was coming and what the agenda was is now absolutely happening in front of our eyes. That's one of the reasons a lot more people are turning to look at my stuff, is because of what was said during the 90s and now what is now unfolding. But, you know, I've always worked on the premise of something that Socrates, the ancient Greek philosopher, was supposed to have said, which is, wisdom is knowing how little we know. In other words, you might know something up to a certain point, but you're kidding yourself if you think that's all there is to know. And what I find, Nicole, is what people tend to do, and this also applies to the conspiracy theory, conspiracy exposure research movement often, is that they get to a certain point and they think they've got it. What they've got is what they've got at that time, but it is a constant journey. And the other thing I find is that so many people in the conspiracy research movement, and good luck to them, they do a fantastic amount of great work, but they are not all, but a lot of them are connected into their Christian belief system. And what that does is edit where they will go and information they will look at. And so what tends to happen is you have a movement forward in the sense that people start to see that something is going on that's different to what they thought was going on. But then that forward movement starts to become a whirlpool going round and round and round and not moving on once people think, A, they've got it, and B, I'm not going there because my belief system will be in trouble if I do. What I seek to do, because I don't have a belief system, I just want to know what's going on, and I want to keep moving. And so once I got a grasp of the five sense manipulation, I thought, well, what's the next level? What is the structure within which this five sense manipulation of banking and business and government, etc., is going on? And that's when I got into the interdimensional side of it, which we've talked about before, where other dimensional entities that are operating outside the frequency range of human sight are manipulating this reality that we call the physical world, and they're doing it through various bloodlines, through what has been known throughout known history as possession, taking over their mental and emotional processes. But then once I'd reached that point, I thought, well, okay, what's the next level? What's the next level of this picture? And what happened was that a friend of mine here on the Isle of Wight in England, a guy called Mike Lambert, he just came round. He's an alternative healer, excellent, first-class guy, brilliant healer. And he came round because, you know, my young son, Jamie's a footballer, and he'd hurt his ankle, so he came round to look at him. And we were just chatting away, and he threw away this line that he'd written this paper on DNA years ago and all that stuff. And I said, I'd like to read it. And when he brought it round, he showed it me, and I saw that four codes, and only four codes, what is it, A, G, C, and T, DNA codes, are common to every form of life. The difference is the sequence that those codes take. You find that the difference between a house mouse DNA and human DNA compared with the difference in physical form is minuscule, really. And what hit me like a smack on the head was, this is it. This is the matrix. Because one of the great questions that people ask, and understandably, is when I talk and others talk about the fact that we have a situation where we're creating our own reality, they ask the obvious question, and it's a very good one, okay, if we create our own reality, how do we all share the same basic foundation reality, i.e., I look out of this window now, I will see the same trees as anyone else who looks out the window. We do have a different spin on reality in that I might decide that I like the trees and someone else might decide that they don't, but we're seeing basically the same collective reality. And so that was the question that needed answering. And when I got this big hit between the eyes, when this thought dropped into my mind that the DNA is the way that we're connected into the matrix, because DNA is actually a receiver transmitter, it's a crystalline substance. And it started to dawn on me very rapidly that in effect we are living in a holographic version of the internet, in the sense that if you log on to the internet, which is a collective reality in China, and you log on it in Britain or America or Canada, you are logging on, despite being in totally different parts of the world, you are logging on to the same collective reality. And you can, quote, surf the web, the same web, and you can go to this site or that site or the other site, depending, you know, what your preference is and where you want to go. But you're all experiencing the same collective reality. What's happening is the computer terminal is decoding this collective reality, so we all experience the same one. Now, what struck me massively was that the DNA is a biological computer which is decoding waveforms sent from a central, quote, computer. And when I say computer, I'm using it symbolically, because we're not talking about a PC here. We're talking about the work of consciousness, which would make the biggest, greatest computer on Earth look like a baked bean in terms of intelligence. So we are receiving in waveform, like a television receives waveforms and turns them into pictures, a collective reality. And we, through the DNA, and particularly the central processing unit, as I call it, the brain. And it's interesting, in a computer you have a central processing unit which through which all the information traffic goes, and it's actually known, the central processing unit, as the brain of the computer. So our brain's DNA are decoding these waveforms into holographic images. We're like television sets, if you like, or computers, except that we are turning them into holographic forms, apparently three-dimensional, rather than flat-screen form. And the reality of the Internet, when we're experiencing it, only exists in the computer. Well, the experience of the holographic Internet, the matrix that we are caught in, is the same. It's only going on in our heads, in our DNA. And what took me aback, Nicole, is when the new book was finished, in which I go into all this in detail, and there's about 88 illustrations to symbolize the whole thing too, is that I got it together and it was about to go off to the book designer to be put together in book form. And I came across this report that Russian scientists had got together with linguists and geneticists and various other disciplines to try to understand what this so-called junk DNA that science talks about, what it actually did. Because a lot of people don't realize this, because when you hear people talk about scientists know this about DNA, they've discovered this about DNA, as if what the impression comes over is that they've understood DNA. No, they have not. Depending on which scientific area or scientist you talk to, between 90 and 97% of DNA, i.e. the vast overwhelming majority of it, science does not have a clue what it's there for, to such an extent that they call it, staggeringly, junk DNA, as if, you know, it's there for no reason. I mean, you know, please. So what these Russian scientists and various other people did was got together to try to understand what this junk DNA was, what it was there for. And they came up with the conclusion that it was, quote, DNA, a biological internet, which is precisely what I got from other forms coming directly rather than through the scientific research that they did. And this is the key, this is the matrix, Nicole. This is what locks us together. This is where we get the collective mind from. This is how we communicate with each other at the physical level. And it's also where we get the collective reality from. And this central computer, or central brain, if you like, of the matrix, it not only sends us information, the collective reality, we send it information, and this is what we call evolution. It's the evolution of reality. So that, for instance, an animal will change